The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Honestly, this is all very new.
Stay the fuck out of my way.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 491 for the week of December 25th, 2023. Merry Christmas! I am Baby David T. Cole, and I'm here with rookie Sarah D. Bunting.
Where is anything?
And new attitude, Tara Ariano.
I've got one. Welcome to Extra Hot Great for this holiday week. Because it is a holiday, we are doing something very special. We're returning to the Thunderdome. And because this is a special holiday week and we are looking ahead to the new year, this time our theme in the Thunderdome is new in people's names. Does that represent a huge range of people? It surely does. This is going to probably get weirder than even most Thunderdomes are, especially because Dave has added a new wrinkle to the Thunderdome.
Since this is the new Thunderdome, each new contestant with new somewhere in their name can bring into the Thunderdome something new to the Thunderdome, provided that new thing is A, nothing of a similar nature that would have been in the Thunderdome before. Mm-hmm. So they can't like bring a sword or a chainsaw or Mel Gibson. And it is not B, an explicit weapon or another being. So not a chainsaw or Mel Gibson. And C is related to their appearance on TV somehow. So they can bring something in. Might not help them at all, but everybody can bring something that the Thunderdome has not seen before. That is not somebody who is alive and is not something that is a weapon.
I think we're all ready. Shall we get into our first of many matchups in the new Thunderdome?
New!
Yes!
Matchup number one, Tawny Newsome.
Tawny Newsome is a TV actor. You may remember her from Space Force if you actually watched that show. More likely, you know her as the voice of Mariner on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Then we have Duke Nukem, not the Duke Nukem from video games, where that name immediately pops into your brain, but Duke Nukem, spelled the same way, from Captain Planet.
Huh.
Was there a lawsuit between the two? Apparently there was. Who won? Not this guy, I think. Duke Nukem is one of the eco-villains, a radioactive mutant who thrives on radiation and toxic waste materials. Duke Nukem represents the misuse of nuclear power in Captain Planet. Mm. He's the only villain, aside from Zarm and Captain Pollution, to have powers of his own, in which he generates radiation to fire off radioactive blasts from his hands.
Okay.
He's dangerously radioactive, enough to be considered a walking disaster area, which is why his sidekick, Lead Suit, always wears a lead suit. And he looks like a less brickhousey thing from Fantastic Four, except he has a red mohawk. And for some reason, this villain also wears a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops.
Okay.
Duke Nukem.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And our final contestant for our first match is George Newbern.
Justice for George Newbern. This is the Scandal iteration of George Newbern. Charlie on Scandal was an assassin who trained Huck in assasscraft. You know, he's assassiny.
All right.
So we've got Tawny Newsome, Duke Nukem, and George Newbern all fighting it out to see who is going to survive the first round, first match, Thunderdome. Tara Ariano, start us off with your thoughts.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to think what I can bring in for Tawny Newsome because, you know, as Mariner, she has access to a lot of, like, space stuff. But anything that I can think of that she would, you know, generally use would be a weapon such as a phaser, for example. So I'm going to belay what she's bringing in until a future round should she survive. So it's her in Mariner form versus Duke Nukem, a real bad guy versus George Newbern. Boy, George Newbern on Scandal, he was a real bastard. He for sure killed a lot of people, even in the time that I was watching it, and I think would definitely probably destroy Mariner, although she is very tough because she is in Starfleet, and we are constantly reminded that she agrees with all of the Starfleet values. But I think Duke Nukem, a cartoon supervillain, is probably going to smash both of them up in the Thunderdome, regardless of what he has there with him, presumably something nuclear.
No, he's bringing, because he has a Hawaiian shirt.
Yep.
Duke Nukem brought a Mai Tai with all the umbrellas and all that shit in it.
Sure.
Well, I think he's going to use those to poke people's eyes out. And even if he doesn't, I think Duke Nukem takes this round personally. Sarah.
Well, look, it's disappointing that my man, George Noob, is up against an irradiated cartoon supervillain, but that's the situation. I don't think he would necessarily bring anything in, because I think his whole deal as an assassin is that you can work with the materials that you have at hand. He may have a slight edge here because his training for the Charlie role means that he's able to keep cool and dispassionate during fights to the death. But, you know, there's radiation involved. I don't think it matters. I don't know enough about Newsom to say, but I have a feeling she and Newbern are both toast in this round. Dave?
Pretty hard to argue against a being that seems to be made out of rock that both eats and discharges radioactivity here in the post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland that is outback Australia. Even the Mai Tai. If you remember, I think it was at the beginning of Thunderdome where Mad Max rolls into town and somebody offers him water and he like pulls out his personal Geiger counter. It's like, no problem for Duke Nukem. He just puts that in his Mai Tai, puts whatever else is in a Mai Tai and drinks it. And he's all the more powerful for it.
Yeah.
So even the Mai Tai helps him just that little bit. It's a little bit of fuel for his nuclear blast. So sounds like it's 3-for-3 here for Duke Nukem, not the video game character, but the Captain Planet character. We have New Christine.
This is the character played by Emily Rutherford in The New Adventures of Old Christine. She is distinct from Old Christine because she is the second Christine that Richard, Old Christine's husband, is dating. She is blonde. She is sweet. She is a little bit dim, perhaps. I mean, she's dumb enough to marry Richard. So, yeah, New Christine.
Kathy Newman.
Kathy Newman is Buffy Summers' freshman year roommate. Briefly, in addition to being annoying enough to kill, she is a demon from another dimension.
And Fred Mouth Sounds Newman.
Okay, I don't know if anyone else remembers this, but Fred Mouth Sounds Newman was the host of a teen talk show called Livewire on Nickelodeon. Uh-huh. If you can survive that experience and win a Cable Ace Award, you're obviously pretty hardy slash immune to trash talk. So there's that, but I think Fred's best shot is the multiple gotchas that he's got on tap from being one of those mouth sounds guys. Presumably he can throw like the sound of explosions and footsteps and other Fulham things into the Thunderdome and just mess with everyone's heads.
Fulhams, I think we'll call them. All right.
Talk about losing control of the English language. Hello.
Sarah, you got two here, so why don't you start us off with your thoughts?
I feel like New Christine is, I don't know what she's bringing in.
She's bringing in an extremely overpoured glass of red wine that she took from Old Christine on her way to Thunderdome.
Okay, I don't think Fred Newman necessarily needs to bring anything in, but he might bring one of those portable home karaoke machines, the better to either throw his voice or fuck with his opponent's heads using feedback. I think this round goes to Kathy because Kathy really was like the whole joke of the episode in which she features, which is the second episode of the fourth season, is that she's just like an quote evil roommate. Like she irons her jeans. She flosses loudly. I love Cher's Believe, but like maybe two or three times in a row is enough times, especially at that point in history. But then the big reveal is that she is a demon who left her dimension without parental permission so that she could go to college in our Earth. It's unclear whether she could have defeated Buffy, but she's specifically written as targeting people without souls. So her opponents could have a problem if they're merely human dickheads in this round. I don't think either of them are, but, you know, she doesn't really have to bring anything except a cassette tape of Cher's Believe that's on a loop. That might be enough to do it, but demon fighting, I think, is plenty. So I'm going to vote Kathy Newman.
So I think the karaoke machine, if activated, could take New Christine out of the running because she has got that big glass of wine. Mm-hmm. She's just like having a happy time.
Yep.
She doesn't really realize her life is in danger. Mm-hmm. And she starts hearing the karaoke, or frankly, she starts hearing Cher's Believe. And she's just like off in the corner, like doing sort of her wine vibe.
For sure.
And that she's the first out.
She knows she's been split in half. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so if she's out and this Kathy Newman, a demon versus a guy that makes sounds with his mouth, even though he does have karaoke, I think demons have enough discipline not to engage in the karaoke at the expense of fighting for their existence. So I'm going to throw out the Tara, but this really does sound like Kathy's fight.
No, I agree. Even if New Christine has any tactical move she can do with her overpoured wine, she's just going to pour it into the speaker and short out Fred Newman's device he's brought in to throw his voice. So he's maybe counteracted. But I mean, I think both of them are going to be easy pickings for an actual demon. I mean, New Christine can barely outmaneuver old Christine, and she is drunk most of the time. So I think she's going to be really overmatched in the Thunderdome. And when an actual demon who has enough stick-to-itiveness to want to go to college in a different actual full-on fucking dimension, she's in it to win it at life. And I think she's in it to win it in the Thunderdome as well.
All right, so that means Kathy Newman moves ahead. We're on to our third match. Mr. Noodle from Sesame Street.
Yes, Mr. Noodle, played by Michael Jeter. Just a weird, weird, wiggly kind of a Sesame Street guy, played by a, I believe, multiple Tony winner who has since passed. We miss him.
Lorraine Newman, Saturday Night Live.
Lorraine Newman of Saturday Night Live, the mother of Hannah Einbinder from Hacks. That's immaterial. It's just a fact. One of the original not ready for primetime players. So, you know, she knows how to get through working in a cast with Chevy Chase. And that's not nothing.
And
no,
joining
really not.
Noodle and Newman in the Thunderdome for this match is Nunu from the Teletubbies. Nunu, and I didn't know this, was the Teletubbies' pet as well as their housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And guardian. How can you be all three of those things at one time, you ask? Nunu can make it happen. He lives in Teletubby land. He's a little vacuum cleaner. Nunu never leaves the house. He doesn't speak, as the Teletubbies understand, and I quote, the sucking and slurping noises he makes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't like that.
Nunu attracted controversy on the episode The One Show in 2017 when he touched guest Holly Willoughby's bottom when everybody was saying goodbye to the viewers. So Nunu's got a frisky, dangerous side to him is what I'm hearing here. So let me start off this discussion. Mr. Noodle, Lorraine Newman, Nunu. Mr. Noodle doesn't really seem like he has it all together. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just going off pictures, but I feel like he's easily distracted. Mm-hmm. Look at that guy's hair. Look at that guy's mustache. Yeah. Look at what he's wearing. Mm-hmm. He's living in his own world. He may not even be aware that he's about to die in Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's closely associated with Elmo. He's in the Elmo stuff. Mm-hmm. And the Elmo stuff is like, it's kind of Sesame Street, but come on, let's be real. It's garbage Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. And he therefore is a garbage character. Lorraine Newman, she is like, what, 85 now? Is she coming into Thunderdome as primetime player Lorraine Newman or today Lorraine Newman? And what are they bringing in?
She's bringing in, okay, Mr. Noodle has a huge pool noodle, of course. Mm-hmm. And Lorraine Newman has a full double handful of cocaine because she's kept it since her time on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Love that.
I like Nunu's chances here because I think, well, first of all, he's not flesh. You know, he's just a machine. So I think he's more hardy than those two. Mm-hmm. And he already is multidisciplined. Like, he can come across as a pet. But also he keeps house, and he's like a mom and dad to Teletubbies, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, he has an actor's craft to him. You know what I mean? Like, he come across as like, oh no, it's just like I'm a dog, but I'm a vacuum cleaner. Mm-hmm. No, I'm in charge. Kablam. And he like takes one of his suction things and like sucks up Mr. Noodle's eye and one of Lorraine Newman's eyes. And they're walking around like, help, help, help. Because the attachment he's brought usually has like the duster bar at the top of his hose. Mm-hmm. But then for this one, he gets the direct suction-y tube. Mm-hmm. And he uses that to pluck eyeballs out with high suction.
Yeah.
So I'm giving this one to Nunu.
Okay. I just want to clarify, there are multiple Mr. Noodles. There's Mr. Noodle and there's Mr. Noodle's brother, also named Mr. Noodle. And that's the one I'm talking about for our purposes, the one who's played by Michael Jeter. Mr. Noodle Prime is Bill Irwin. He's fine also. But Michael Jeter, he's my guy. I hate to agree with Dave, but I do think he is right here. I think Lorraine Newman, certainly a survivor of Saturday Night Live, I think having read Live from New York, none of us will ever comprehend what it was like to be on the show in those early days. And she got through it, but can we say she thrived? I don't know. I don't know if she's doing that great now. Mr. Noodle, I mean, exposure to Elmo is going to mean some of the fire has gone out of him, as it would for any of us. And I think Nunu, as an entity that has to keep shit rolling, Nunu is going to do what needs to be done in order to get back to Nunu's many responsibilities in life. And so I'm giving this one to Nunu. Sarah?
Well, there's two ways that this can go. I think we'll all agree. Way the first. Lorraine Newman snorts a little cocaine.
Yeah.
Throws a little cocaine into Nunu's eyes, which I just Googled Nunu and he has no eyelids, so he cannot blink. Mm-hmm. This is a big problem.
Okay.
He's got a brush.
Oh, okay. While he's occupied with that, she does the rest of the cocaine and just rips Mr. Noodle limb from limb. And then she takes Mr. Noodle's pool noodle and jams it into Nunu's intake valve.
Mm.
And he blows up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is science. Do not at me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other way is that Nunu, because she's, you know, a little older and a little distracted and like can't really, like both her hands are filled with cocaine and she can't really defend herself very well. Nunu gets that hose attachment Dave was talking about, hoovers up the cocaine, and then everybody within a 10-mile radius is fucking dead. Which do we think is more likely here? I've got to say the latter.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Nunu.
Yep.
All right. So Nunu advances. Match number four.
Nunu!
Newman Seinfeld. You all know Newman. He's sure. The neighbor nobody likes. He's the postman. He is unlikable. We've got Anoop Desai.
Anoop Desai originally was a contestant on American Idol. Did not, I believe, go that far. But since has reinvented himself. He was in What We Do in the Shadows last season as the djinn who was constantly fulfilling all of Nandor's various weird wishes.
And joining them, we have Khan Noonien Singh, not from Star Trek. I'm putting the kid version in from Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Wow.
The found in Toronto, I'm going to say 8-9-year-old child mm-hmm. who grows up to be the world's biggest mass murderer.
Yeah.
That one.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Newman, Anoop, Noonien.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boys. Tara, start us off.
Okay. Well, look, Newman is...
Newman's bringing his mailbag.
Yeah, of course. Anoop Desai is bringing his gin, special pen that he's using to mark off every time Nandor uses a wish. He's keeping track that way.
And Khan is bringing some of the fridge-worthy paintings he made in his sad little room in that episode.
Okay. Newman, you know, driven by spite. We know this. We've all watched Seinfeld. This is a not insignificant motivator, and I think we all can appreciate where he's coming from, you know, generally in life. Mm-hmm. Noonien Singh, I mean, he's a murderer. He's going to be a murderer, but he isn't one yet. He's just a kid. He's definitely smaller than both of the combatants. You know, do we think he's developed his strategic genius yet? I think probably not, especially since at the time we meet him in Strange New Worlds, he's just a kid like living essentially in solitary confinement. It's kind of a sad story, to be completely honest with you. Whereas Anoop Desai, as the djinn, you know, has the power to grant wishes. Does he have the power to grant his own wishes? Unclear. We don't know that. So weirdly, I'm going to give this to Newman in his mailbag because I think he's just going to pick up Khan Noonien Singh and cram him in there wave him around above his head. He's pretty small. Yeah. Throw him into the side. And then the djinn is kind of skinny, too. I think Newman can probably pick him up and smash him up. I'm giving this one to Newman just on sheer force of will and determination to survive, which right. he has done in New York, and that's not easy.
So here's how I think it's going to happen. It's going to be up to Sarah to figure out if we have a tie or maybe even a three-way tie, or we actually have a decision here. So I don't think Anoop can actually grant his own wishes. I think that's part of the bargain of being a djinn, right?
I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
And so what he has to do is go to Khan and say, that mean man over there hates dogs. He thinks dogs shouldn't be allowed in homes and in people's lives. And being a kid, being kind of innocent still, Khan's like, well, I don't want that. Do you want to wish him out of existence for this sin? And he says, yes. And then Newman disappears. And then Anoop just throws Khan up to the ceiling, just stomps on his head. He's a little boy. What are you going to do? Nothing. Right. That's what. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Anoop for this one.
Wow.
Yeah, by tricking wishes.
Interesting. Sarah.
I think both Newman and Noonien Singh will assume that they can't use their wishes against the wish grantor.
Interesting.
So each of them will wish against the other one and cancel each other out. And Anoop Desai wins and doesn't even have to do anything.
Mm.
There is a timeline in which this wish granting, like Moebius, leaves Newman standing, but... I mean, this is a supernatural wish-granting being. I think I gotta say Anoop. Good argument for Newman, though.
Do you think he would voluntarily give open-ended wishes, though?
Like, the only reason that Nandor gets them is because he finds the lamp, right? So we don't know what either of them has done.
I can buy he can engineer somebody getting a wish.
Sure.
Right? You know, like, hey, look at this lamp. It's kind of dirty. What are you gonna do, right?
Right, right.
But I'm just wondering if he would take the chance of saying you both got two wishes and hope that they cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of would buy that you can't cancel out the wish giver just because that character needs to exist throughout all time because that's just sort of their
otherwise he can't grant the wish.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
You won this, so don't talk yourself out of it.
Well, if he's going to move forward, we have to consider what exactly... wish strat is here.
Right.
Wish hashtag.
Okay. Well, we can revisit that in the next round, it sounds like, because it seems like it's 2-1. Anoop.
Yep.
New. All right. Next up is BB Newworth.
This is actually the Julia version of BB Newworth. The many jokes about her on Cheers and Frasier being a freezing cold vampire aside, I think the Julia version is the more lethal. She is capable of burning people with cigarettes, impaling them with high heels, throwing martinis in their faces, and so on. Not to mention whanging them with set dressing cast iron pans from Julia's test kitchen. Plus, she has dancer strength and musical theater stamina.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's bringing in a cast iron frying pan from Julia's test kitchen, BB Newworth.
Mm-hmm. Next.
David Newell.
David Newell played Mr. McFeely, the postal worker on Mr. Rogers.
I don't like that.
Why do we have so many mailmen in here? Newell is, in fact, still living and was still doing, like, cons for some reason.
Hmm.
As of 2020, I think his only shot here probably is that opponents might be reluctant to swing on a public servant from a beloved children's show, but I guess we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also bringing a mailbag.
Okay.
And finally for this match, Rebecca Newman.
Oh, this is the Rebecca Newman from We Crashed, the Apple TV Plus series about WeWork, played by Anne Hathaway. She is a cousin of Gwyneth Paltrow. She has a lot of wild ideas about wellness and so forth, and certainly about business, most of which are incorrect. And she is bringing... let's say she's bringing a jade egg that her beloved cousin gave to her because she's always trying to kiss up to Gwyneth and trade on their relationship.
Okay.
Fuck.
Sarah, start us off with that. The jade egg.
I think that anyone who would be fictionally married to Jared Leto and also would bring a jade egg into Thunderdome and just like probably put it somewhere within everyone's sight and then just let everybody kind of ruminate on why it's there and where it's been.
Yeah.
And while they're thinking about that, she'd just be cracking fucking skulls. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is impossible.
Mm.
I do think it's probably impossible for Mr. McFeely, who is a very friendly, gentle soul, despite IRL working in Mr. Rogers' marketing department. He was gentle about that too. Mm-hmm. His tagline was special delivery, and then he'd bring some, you know, subtle lesson for the children of the 1970s. I just don't think that this cheery gentleman belongs in the Thunderdome. But he had the right name for it, and sometimes you need cannon fodder, so I think he's out. But can Rebecca Newman's monomaniacal self-promotion defeat the singing, dancing, cast iron pan swinging B.B. Newworth in full matte red lipstick? I just don't know. So I think it's down to those two, but I'm going to let you two discuss and see where it goes.
Okay, I'll go next. Yeah, B.B. Newworth is a force of nature in truly every role I've seen her in. I agree with Sarah that David Newell is not a factor. Anyone who worked on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, I mean, I'm sure.
What if he's like Walter White? And this is okay. His girlfriend choking on the bed next to him moment. And he kind of looks at her, squeezes her nose, covers her mouth, and says, "Here's your special delivery." And that's what turns him.
On Mr. Rogers, he literally is the one who knocks. There's like one other neighbor who ever comes to the door.
I think we figured out who he really is.
Oh my God.
Stealth Walter White.
But even if he would do that against Rebecca Newman, who certainly deserves it, jade egg or no, would he take it out on the Julia version of B.B. Newworth, who is his PBS sister? I believe they both they weren't. She was in Boston. He was in Pittsburgh. They were not on the same affiliate, but they are both PBS, in the PBS family. I mean, Dave is convincing me. I generally feel like B.B. Newworth, there's truly nothing that she can't do. But if Dave is proposing that he could fold her up into a mailbag and that actually Rebecca Newman would probably fit in it too because they're both real skinny, I mean, I'm not unconvinced. So, Dave, keep talking.
I don't know what causes him to turn, but the fact that he's a postman, you know, and postmen are always sort of like mysterious and edgy, and there's a reason why we say they could go postal at any moment because they're postmen.
Yep.
Now, granted, it's from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and everybody from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is supposed to be saintly, kind, but that just makes the turn all the more delicious, doesn't it?
Yes.
And that's what makes it bussy TV when he kills Jesse's girlfriend. Somehow, through methods. Who is B.B. Worth's character on Julia? What does she do?
She's
Avis. She's the best friend.
Yeah, she's Julia. She's just the best friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's not making vagina egg omelets or something as a challenge
on the
during
show.
The Thunderdome.
But yes, no one is making vagina egg omelets.
Okay. That's the one thing I'd be like, well, I got to try it. When am I ever going to get another opportunity? And while she's making it, somebody brains her.
Right.
She also has the frying pan there, too. So I can't see Rebecca Newman winning this at any rate. She just seems like she's out of it. Mm-hmm. And her one talent is having money using that money to build people out of their money.
Mm-hmm.
So B.B. Newworth, PBS best friend versus secretly evil Mr. Rogers character. I'd like to see the secretly evil Mr. Rogers character advance.
Yeah.
So would I, but I don't think B.B. Newworth is having any of that shit. I think she's kicking him to death. So my vote, as it turns out, is B.B. Newworth.
I can't argue that my scenario makes any sense. So I will...
You so seldom do.
So I will go with Sarah here and say B.B. Newworth will probably win, even though it breaks my heart.
Sure.
New! All right, next matchup, new! Neutral Planet Ambassador from Futurama.
I can't wait for this argument.
I have no strong feelings about this one way or the other. Bobby Newport.
Yes, Bobby Newport from Parks and Recreation, played by Paul Rudd, the scion of the local Sweetums fortune who decides at a certain point in his 40s he's going to run for a city council seat despite having absolutely no qualifications except being cute.
And Julie Newmar.
Is Catwoman from Batman and also survived a scene or two with Andrew Shue on Melrose Place, which is, you know,
sure
no small feat.
All right. I can start us off here. So Catwoman, a bad politician and ambassador of a planet that is basically Switzerland, including that they are beige beings.
Mm-hmm.
Newmar is bringing in a small orange kitten.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thunderdome has guaranteed the safety of the kitten.
Thank you. Bobby Newport is bringing sweets from Sweetums. He's enough for everybody.
And the Neutral Planet Ambassador is bringing a coin with nothing on either side. Okay. So the Neutral Planet Ambassador, he maintains true neutrality. Tell my wife I said hello in the face of death. Mm-hmm. Of course, the famous YouTube video where the internet keeps a vigilant eye on the likes and dislikes so that they're always exactly 50-50. Perhaps the greatest project the internet has ever undertaken.
Yep.
I feel like he's not going to fight either one, right? Because he's going to be, well, I can't choose sides.
Yes.
I'm just going to have to hope it turns out that they conk each other out, which is very unlikely because when you have Bobby Newport, weakling politician, ineffective daddy's boy.
Yes.
Versus Catwoman. And granted, Catwoman didn't get a lot of W's on Batman, but that's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bobby Newport.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume first she takes out Bobby Newport with mm-hmm. claws and sexiness.
Yes.
Actually, here's how it works, just to spice it up. Sexiness on Bobby Newport, claws on the Neutral Planet Ambassador,
sure.
Just so they each get a different mode of death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really can't see how the Neutral Planet Ambassador gets anywhere close to a win on this one, despite it making me sad because he is such a great character. So Julie Newmar, I think, is my winner here. Tara.
Okay. I mean, I agree. Like, the thing about the Neutral Planet Ambassador is he can't choose either of the other sides, but can he even choose his own side? Isn't that breaking neutrality for him to defend himself if directly attacked? I feel like...
Well, neutrality is the defense and the way of life, right?
Right.
So you don't ever... It would be, like, antithetical to his being to consider not doing nothing. Not doing nothing, yes.
And the other thing that Dave has not mentioned regarding Julie Newmar, perhaps because he doesn't know, is she is so, so, so tall.
She's so tall.
And Bobby Newport, played by Paul Rudd, we know he's so, so, so small. He's just a little wee man. I mean, he's literally Ant-Man when he's not on television sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's too gormless to be able to do anything. Even like Rebecca Newman, his only benefit in life is that he has a lot of money. He's not even an ineffective politician. He's barely a politician at all. He sort of, you know, goes into it thinking everyone should just give it to him because that's how he's lived his whole life. Catwoman and Julie Newmar have had to scratch for every single thing they've ever wanted, and she's going to scratch her way to victory here. I think this is not close. Julie Newmar is our winner here. Sarah.
Yeah, I have to agree. If there were any thought, I'm not all that familiar with the Bobby Newport character, but if there were any thought that he could poison the candy before he comes into Thunderdome, then maybe he's got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not distracted by the tiny orange kitten, at which point Julie Newmar fatally boxes his ears. And yeah, Neutral Planet Ambassador, for all the reasons stated, not in play here. So yeah, I think Catwoman advances easily. And the kitten, of course, is unharmed.
Thank God.
Dr. Phil Newman.
Dr. Phil Newman is from The Bob Newhart Show. He's played by Howard Platt. He was a plastic surgeon who had an office on the same floor as Bob Hartley, the psychologist, and Jerry Robinson, the orthodontist or dentist, depending on what is necessary for a storyline. Really, they're very fluid with that, but that's a separate issue.
Is he the character that's sort of like the asshole of the doctor?
Yes.
That one? Okay.
Yes.
What's he bringing?
Oh, I guess he can't bring a scalpel because that would be considered a weapon. So he's bringing a great big binder that's a lookbook of all his past surgeries to impress potential new patients.
Okay. Second up, Victor Newman.
Oh, Victor Newman. Victor Newman, apparently this character was supposed to get killed off of the show, The Young and the Restless, after a 2 or 3 month stint, but Eric Braeden was so good at playing him, / he was so fun to write for, that they let it ride, and more than 40 years later, he's still there and played by the same dude. This is the Young and the Restless, you know, compromised at best town patriarch who is a face or a heel, depending on what's needed that month. Newman is an absolute legend in that regard. I wasn't a big Y&R watcher back in the day, but like all soap, you know, big bosses, he's a schemer, filled to the brim with capitalist privilege, usually wearing a double-breasted suit jacket of some sort, even like as pajamas. Kind of unkillable because it's a soap. Both actor and character are in their 80s, but see previous Ray unkillable, and I think he's going to bring that cut glass decanter of brown liquor that all soap bosses drink out of in the middle of the fucking day on soaps.
And joining them is the newsman from The Muppet Show, who delivers the Muppet News Flash on said program, the easily flummoxed The Newsman. But here's what's interesting. He's bringing his news desk into the Thunderdome, one of the bigger items we've seen. But if you remember, his shtick is most of the time when he delivers the news falls from the sky onto him. So he'll say something like, chicken stocks are down, and then like all these chickens fall from heavens nowhere onto him, all around him, injuring him, and perhaps others. So it could be an interesting fight on our hands. Whew. All right. Sarah, what do you think we got here?
Oh my gosh. Well, the newsman bringing his news desk. Now, is it just the anchor desk, or it's like everything that happens in the immediate environment? So like whatever chickens are being hurled from...
When he delivers the news, he's not bringing those items. Those just happen to him.
Right.
It's sort of like a curse in a way. So if he delivers a particular newscast, knowing that this usually happens to him, he could potentially shape what falls into the arena.
Okay.
Okay. So if he's at the anchor desk in Thunderdome giving a news report and is like, you know, this just in, it's raining men. Hallelujah. Yeah. Right. And then a whole bunch of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes him tough to beat, in my opinion.
But he doesn't have pinpoint control over it. He often injures himself during it. So something to consider.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Then maybe he's the neutral party in this round. Dr. Phil Newman went to med school. A heavy binder can really do some damage. So there's that. Victor Newman is old, but like I said, seems to be unkillable. Mm-hmm. Very wily. Can throw money at a problem. Maybe I should have had him bring a brick of 20s. I didn't. Crystal decanter is going to fuck you up if he gets the right torque on it and a corner buries itself in your eye. And as stated by Dave, the newsman, falling pertinent objects giveth, falling pertinent objects taketh away. I think it's Victor Newman, because I think he's a soap big boss, town patriarch, and whatever the writers say is going to happen to him is going to happen. And this writer says that he's making it into the next round, because I think the other two just managed to fuck themselves over, and the newsman is like talking about, you know, anvils, and then one of them bounces off the desk and takes him out and Dr. Phil. So that's my call, but I'm willing to be persuaded.
Okay. Here's what I think happens with the newsman. So the newsman by this time is well aware that he has this newscasting problem.
Right.
Right.
And here he is fighting for his life. So maybe he's starting to think strategically, how can I do this? News of the day could be people are experiencing a cold spell. And when that happens, only the people get hit with cold spells, literally from some wizard that falls from the thing, and that they are frozen. He just walks up to them and smacks them with his, you know, desk mic or whatever he's got going there, and they just shatter.
Sure.
So that could be how he uses them to target. Now, he's easily flummoxed by everything. So the question with that scenario is, does he have the wherewithal? Is he actually that with it to concoct that filtered news report in order to wield it as a weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, Tara?
Yeah, I mean, this is my thinking, too. I agree with Sarah that Victor Newman, his advantage is scheming, especially if he comes in with the decanter. He's going to be pouring for Dr. Newman. He's going to be trying to get him on side. Oh, look at all your great work. You're so impressive. I think Dr. Newman is going to be uniquely receptive to flattery. So he's going to be he's going to be easily talked into whatever Victor wants to do. But then the question is, it has the newsman been collecting stories? Is he coming in with a report about the volcano that's about to erupt in Iceland in our timeline as we're recording this? Has he collected a number of stories that he is going to be able to use to his advantage? He is a newsman, but he is also a Muppet. How strategic do we think he's going to be? And is, I want to believe in him, because coming in with your news desk, It's gonna put him in the right mind space. Here's what I'm gonna say. That's the reason he's gonna win, is because having his desk there is gonna make him. It's gonna center him. It's gonna keep him on task. It's gonna make him feel focused. It's gonna make him feel like he's in his professional element. He is going to have his stack of stories That's what helps the newsman stay on task and stay focused as a good journalist should. So newsman over Victor and Phil, buried by lava, thanks to the newsman.
All right. We've got Neutral Janet from The Good Place. Mm-hmm. Neutral Janet is a Janet designed to be neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Mm-hmm. It's not evil Janet. It's not regular Janet. It's neutral Janet.
Okay.
And they operate in the accounting department in the afterlife. So she is bringing the payout check for Thunderdome.
Okay.
We also have Gary Ganu from The Great Space Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
He delivers the news on the Gary Ganu's news show.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Ganu.
Sure.
And we have Tandy Wade Newton. Mm-hmm.
I actually had her as the ER version, but I'm changing that to the Westworld version because that version is, of course, a host, which means she's a robot. So,
yep.
And that seems like a smarter call. And for this, she is, I don't know what she should bring in, so I'm going to say she is allowed to wear less restrictive clothing than her host outfit. So she's wearing some dungarees, let's say.
Oh, yeah. Gary Ganu is sort of like if you combined a 70s news reporter with Carl Sagan.
Sure.
Is sort of his jam.
Mm-hmm.
So he is going to bring, what's he going to bring?
A map? A globe?
Yeah, that seems like his kind of jam. Like the globes that open up. It's got like drinks inside. That seems like
him. Sure. Okay. That's fun.
Oh, God, one of those. Yeah. I need one of those.
Liquor globe. Neutral Janet. She's in the accounting department, which probably doesn't give her a lot of work experience that she could bring into the Thunderdome. So that's bad for her. But also she can't be destroyed without going to that button thing. So I don't even know how she dies in Thunderdome, frankly.
Right.
Maybe Gary Ganu brought a button that kills.
It's in the liquor globe.
Oh boy, and boy, I don't see how either one of them really just doesn't get slaughtered by the Westworld Newton, because that is some badassery.
Yeah.
In unknowing robot form and knowing I'm a robot form, I think either way, it doesn't really matter. She's mad in both.
Yep.
So I think that probably, even though the other two are fantastical and got a lot of weird shit going on that I would like to see us theorize about, I really don't see them holding a candle here.
Yeah, I'll go next. The only thought experiment really here is like, I mean, Dave already said Neutral Janet can't be destroyed without the button because Neutral Janet is not organic, but neither is Tandy Wade Newton of Westworld fame. Mm-hmm. She's a robot. She potentially can be revived under any circumstances. Like, yes, part of the appeal is that they can be sort of killed and they don't necessarily understand. But I believe her character is kind of a revolutionary in the world of the show. So she's like, as Dave said, real mad in both of them. I mean, I feel like Gary Ganu, as much as I love the look of him, he is so friendly looking. This is not going to be an advantage to him.
The worst that Gary Ganu would do, and he's this sort of character, like he's everything I described before, but I also get the vibe, and of course, we never see anything close to this on The Great Space Coaster, but I also get the vibe he's sort of like that Will Ferrell character from Saturday Night Live, Hello, My Lover, in the hot tub.
Yes,
he's also that guy.
Yes.
But I don't know how that helps him. But I also get the vibe that he's totally that guy.
Sure. He might be trying to, he might try to seduce both of these non-human women.
Yeah.
But I don't know how far that gets him. Neutral Janet is presumably neutral on sex as well. And, you know, Westworld Tandy Wade Newton is not going to be falling for that either. That's her whole thing. She doesn't want to be a host anymore. You know, even if Neutral Janet uses her, I mean, she's got a, like a little tie around her throat, but I don't even see her using that to kill anyone because she's neutral. All she's there to do is dispense checks. So I feel like this one is Tandy Wade Newton from Westworld in a walk. Sarah.
Yeah, agree. She's mad. She's certainly not going to have it with an amorous Ganu. And yeah, Neutral Janet, I think, like, yeah, can she be permanently destroyed in the sense of like the matter is eliminated?
Yeah.
No, but can she win? Also, no. Ragebot for the win this round.
I've just looked at our list and realized what our last matchup is, and I'm excited and scared. So let's go.
No. Let's get to it. No. We got Bob Newhart, the actor.
Oh, God.
And I will say he is my choice. So he's coming in as present day Bob Newhart.
Uh-huh.
And if you haven't enjoyed us posting the recent-ish picture of him, he is not doing great. His face is leaving his face.
Yeah.
And he's an old guy.
He's real old.
I've already forgotten how to say his name.
Nucci Galtieri.
Thank you.
Nucci Galtieri is Polly Walnuts' ma. Oh. And she will be bringing her pocketbook. Nucci is old, short, blind, perpetually bullied, and overly reliant on her son. But also, she's the kind of strunz who raised Polly Walnuts. And that pocketbook is full of dinner rolls and sugar packets, which could be used to create a distraction / blind her opponents.
Joining them, this is going to be a weird battle, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The new Pope.
Yeah. The new Pope from The New Pope, as played by Jude Law.
I hate this.
What else would the nude, said the nude Pope, which he is in one memorable scene. He's close to nearly nude, but no, the new Pope is bringing rosary beads because, you know, maybe to pray for your soul, maybe to strangle you with them. Who's to say?
Oh, yeah. Bob Newhart's bringing a cane because otherwise... He's not getting around it at all.
No.
How Catholic is the Sopranos character here?
Probably very.
Mm-hmm. Her sister, who is actually Pauly's biological mother, is a nun.
Is the new Pope the actual Pope?
Yeah.
Does he become the Pope?
Yes.
So it's going to be hard for her to fight the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is really tough because I feel like the new Pope and Nucci would team up. Against what they would see as literally the Walking Dead in the form of Bob Newhart. On the other hand, as Dave famously put it, kids, get in the basement. Bob Newhart's here. Like this is not an unscary thing to contemplate. Is a shuffling Bob, and you know a cane is useful. But I don't think that he, like, I think possibly body parts are just falling off.
I mean.
Oh, I have not used the word sluice yet, but I definitely could have.
Yeah.
I think if you grab him and try to, like, punch his face, the skin would sort of fly off and then, like, come back, but not quite in the same position. Like, he's got a droopy thing going on these days.
Yes.
He's got a very droopy the cartoon dog thing going.
Yeah, there is a sort of Michael Jackson uncorrected nose issues situation happening there. This is so ageist of us all. It's horrible. Death comes for us all. We understand that. But I think death might come for Bob Newhart, like irrespective of anything that's happening in the Thunderdome.
If Bob Newhart, I hope it doesn't happen, but if he passes away between November 16th, as we record, and late December when this goes out, we're very sorry, and we're going to let him do an honorary win.
Yes.
Yes.
We miss him terribly. We miss him.
And actually, while I'm here, please find his, I listened to this on a record album in my parents' living room. His comedy album where he does the driving lesson is still very funny. Sexist, but funny.
Mm.
All right. So I think that Bob Newhart is perhaps not a factor. And I also think that Nucci will not be able to bring herself to fight a pope. And I also think that this particular pope, I almost keep saying no poop. So we've got nude pope, we've got toilet strat. I think this guy was a like Avignon schemer type, right? Like, wasn't that the whole log line of the show?
I believe that's
this
right.
This pope fucks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Oh my God, is he going to fuck Bob Newhart?
He's going to fuck them both.
Bob Newhart just disappears in a puff of smoke.
Now I'm the one who's going to die before the end of this Thunderdome because that's just a garden of horror that is choked with weeds. And now I am also dead. Here's the point. The new Pope wins.
Yeah.
May God have mercy on David T. Cole. Tara.
Yeah, I mean, this is like kind of silly. Dave is right. Like, it's not just that Bob Newhart is gonna just shatter as soon as anything touches him. Like, I feel like he's gotten 17 bruises just stepping into Thunderdome. Like, he's not He's not doing great.
It was cool to put him in the first place, one would say.
What kind of a person would do such a thing, one might
and
ask?
And then post a picture of the thing they were doing in Slack to horrify us all.
Yeah.
Who indeed?
Look, I'm saying, if I was Netflix right now and I was really going to go brass tacks on the Masters of the Universe show,
yeah,
you got your Skeletor already. Makeup. It's no nothing.
Guys, it's true.
Instead of laughing manically, he just sort of like very slowly says what he wants to say.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying in a very different way, but none less effective.
No, it's true.
I am a Bob. Creaking.
Yeah, the new Pope, he's got his rosary. He doesn't need it. When you look up the picture of him in his Speedos, he's like a golden god. I mean, he's just handsome and well-muscled and virile. He barely has to do anything at all. I don't care how many dinner rolls are in Nucci's purse. It's the new Pope. He is our victor here. Dave, anything to add?
Well, he's got like at least 30 years on either of them, right?
For sure. And he's got God on his side. He's the new Pope.
Yeah, I don't know if he does.
Well.
I mean, he's got the church on his side.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
You don't need God. You just need to shove one of them real hard into the other and listen for the sound of cracking hips.
Yes, they both keel over.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, that is the new Pope.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Ending round one, round two. We're in the playoffs here.
Oh,
we've got Duke Nukem versus Kathy
versus
Newman.
Nunu
from the Teletubbies. The vacuum cleaner from the Teletubbies versus a radioactive rock guy versus a demon. Quite the matchup.
It really is.
Are demons susceptible to radioactive decay?
That is the question.
Yep.
I mean, they're supernatural.
I think vacuums are not really.
Not really. Mm-hmm. But also, he's a vacuum. I know there's like a miasma of radioactiveness all around Thunderdome because it's, you know, that's the setting of Thunderdome. It's after a nuclear war and everything's kind of irradiated. So there's a constant feeding of Duke Nukem on the environment. And Nunu can sort of suck up the radioactivity in the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Actively, as the battle's going, to lower his power level.
Okay, here's the next question. Does Nunu have a soul? Because that's going to affect how Kathy interacts with Nunu as well.
Well, if he's mostly machine, that's the strike against it.
Yeah.
Now, he is a character, and he does apparently, he is a pet and the guardian of the Teletubbies at the same time, which is so fucked up. Every time I read it, I can't get my mind around it.
It's really complicated.
Is that a typo? Did somebody fuck up Wikipedia? So I want to believe if he's a parental figure, he has a kind of a soul.
Mm-hmm.
But guardian is sort of a different thing.
Yeah.
That's sort of like maybe Nunu's just like taking care of the Teletubbies to cast check at the end of the month, right?
Right, right.
Four kids, four checks. Nunu's rolling in it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's just like extremely practical sort of machine.
Yeah.
And in fact, does not have a soul.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't have a soul, what does that mean to Kathy Newman?
He
can't attack him?
Yeah.
No, she targets people without souls.
Without souls. Okay, so
creatures
he's
creatures without souls.
Oh.
So it's the opposite. So he's in bad shape.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's another question.
Right.
She is from another dimension. Is she allowed to travel between her home dimension and the dome mansion?
Yeah. Oh, can she leave the Thunderdome during battle? No.
Yeah.
No.
And just wink into another dimension and like when
Absolutely
those two
not.
Are both coming for her.
No.
Okay. I mean, there are so many known unknowns here.
Right.
About the effect of radioactivity on a demon from another dimension who was in two episodes of a show 20 years ago. Sigh. I think demon defeats radioactive rock monster and little pet guardian vacuum burglar alarm pants pressing guy. I just feel demons rank those two things.
Yeah.
I think Nunu sucks up the radioactivity, weakens Duke Nukem, and the demon knocks them both out.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking as well. Given the null soul thing, that he is the first target, and while he's being targeted, he is passively sucking the energy away from Duke Nukem. Mm-hmm. That gives her the edge when it comes to that fight. And I gotta believe if she's supernatural, then radioactivity probably doesn't really affect her, or doesn't affect her like she does us.
Yeah.
Now he has the blast part of it, but I gotta think if he's weakened, gives her the edge. So I think your scenario probably is the way it's going to pan out to her.
Yeah, I agree. I think Duke prevails if this is battle against humans, but it quite literally is not. In both cases, he is not facing any human combatants. And so I think Kathy, just through determination plus for mechanical reasons, I think Kathy wins.
All right. It's time for round two, match two. Anoop Desai.
Yep.
BB Newirth.
Oh, boy.
Julie Newmar.
Oh, no, not Newmar versus Newirth. That is cruel.
It's cruel.
It's a real gam fight between the two of them.
And to remind you, we have a frying pan. Catwoman brought what? A cat?
A little kitten.
A kitten.
Yep. And a pen. That's what Anoop Desai's got. He's got
a pen.
Okay. Perhaps a magic pen, but you know, a pen.
Sure.
Oh boy. Okay, I'll go first.
It's going to be hard to trick the other two into making a wish.
Mm. Yeah, they're both pretty smart.
I don't know how smart Newmar is.
Mm.
She agreed to be on Melrose. Kept getting beaten by Batman. That dude's a dolt. Sorry.
True.
She's got a lot of cool toys. But as Dave said, she didn't have a lot of W's as Catwoman. And I think that's not unimportant.
Yeah. Well, proceed. Keep talking.
No. You keep talking. Tell me what to think. I hate this one.
It's real hard. Okay, let's see. BB Newirth, I think, is the kind of person in any version who's going to be pleasantly distracted by a little kitten. The kitten is going to be a factor here because BB will not be able to resist how extremely cute it is. So then Julie gets the jump on her when she's bending over to pet this cat. Julie kicks her in the face. The frying pan is nowhere near her. She gets stomped by Julie Newmar's 8-foot legs. So that leaves Julie versus Anoop and his pen. He's down far enough. Maybe he can stab her in the thigh, temporarily disable her. I think even if she's down one gam, I think she can still choke him between her thighs like Xenia Onatopp, and Julie Newmar wins this battle. Dave?
For me, it comes down to if Anoop can use his djinn power somehow to put his thumb on the scale. I think it was easier when you had a kid involved.
Right.
And without the wishes, Anoop really doesn't have a lot because, you know, he can't zip in and out of the universe.
Yeah.
That's not allowed in Thunderdome.
No.
You don't leave until you win or die.
That's right.
So BB Newirth versus Julie Newmar, maybe. In which case, yeah, I guess maybe Julie Newmar for just being a more imposing figure. But I got to believe BB Newirth just like fucking like it's like a Wolverine.
A hair puller.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't you like get that impression that like back against the wall, the transformation takes place and you're just in deep shit?
Yeah.
I think that might what happened. So I'm going to go BB Newirth here.
Okay.
So Sarah.
I'm not mad at that.
Well, I would make the argument for Anoop Desai because the same reasons that applied to the victory in the first round would apply in this round.
But they saw it happen.
Mm.
But they would have known about it happening.
They wouldn't be susceptible to the same tricks he's saying.
Gotcha. All right. I think it's BB because I think she is more Wolverine-y. I think she is probably a better, smarter fighter who is less susceptible to trickery. And I think she probably... I think it is possible that the combatants do not know that the kitten will not be harmed.
Mm.
So BB Newirth like coaxes the kitten over, puts it in her cast iron frying pan, and is like, now I have everything that is of meaning to you.
Yes.
Submit to me, or like come and get it. And then there's a big fight. And the kitten, of course, sails into the rafters where it clings and is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Julie Newmar is the physically superior, larger specimen. But I just don't think she's as grittily determined as BB Newirth.
You've talked me into it. I think BB Newirth being smaller, she probably has more speed. And she is, of course, you know, the originator of number 17, Spread Eagle, as well. So she's got Spread Eagle power as well. Not on TV, but I think it translates.
I'm so glad for her.
New. All right, last match of round two. We've got the Newsman from The Muppet Show.
Yes.
Versus Tandy Wade Newton of Westworld. Mm-hmm. Versus the new Pope of the new Pope. Wow. That's quite the spread we got here.
Yeah.
So wow. To remind you, the Newsman has brought his news desk, in which he can report the news and sure make has. Things fall from the sky sometimes, depending on if he can, you know, get the right combination of news programming going. Mm-hmm. Tandy Wade Newton's Westworld character, angry robot, angry not quite a robot, mm-hmm. and the new Pope got the power of the Catholic Church behind him. Power you don't want to mess with. Oh boy. One from each of us here in the last round. Last match of round two.
Shall I start?
Yeah, all right. I'm thinking.
Because I think it's the Newsman. I think that he lulls everyone into, like, granted, they have seen his previous rounds as well. Mm-hmm. So they're prepared for a blizzard of like toasters or whatever. But what actually happens first, a gentle bubble fall, like they're in Ibiza, which is very slippery. The new Pope falls down and Tandy Wade Newton of Westworld stomps the new Pope to death.
Or the new Pope thinks it's time to fuck in the club and just lets his guard down. Then she kills him.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Either way. And then she's advancing on the Newsman when he changes the substance to something that it, like some corrosive agent that gets into her gears as a robot and causes her to break down.
Yep.
And then he and his news desk proceed into the final against the spread eagle and a demon from another dimension. Tell me I'm wrong. I might be.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the Newsman is such an interesting combatant, because truly, like, you do think anything is possible. When he gets behind that desk, he just has such crazy power, certainly more power than the church. So I think disabling the new Pope with some kind of, you know, it could be bubbles, it could be feathers, any kind of sensual news reporting is going to derail him. And it doesn't... Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, Dave.
What if his news report was about the second coming of Christ? Jesus Christ falls down to the Thunderdome, has a word with the new Pope, not really being all that pious.
Right.
And disappears him. And then the Westworld character is a robot, so she doesn't count.
Right.
Disappears her.
Yeah.
Jesus does all the work on the Newsman's behalf.
Well, see, that's the question. I didn't know if the Newsman can, if he can report things that aren't true.
No, probably not. I think you're right. I think he has. It would have to be like the Y2K report and then like the robot disintegrates or something.
Yeah. I understand. Yes. And it can't even be like he's reporting old stories about like scandals in the church, because the new Pope doesn't care. He's shameless. He's not going to be bothered by that. So I think it's just you have to disable the new Pope, like I said, with some story about something sensuous that's going to make him too horny. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win between the Newsman and Tandy Wade Newton? I don't think that she is that worried about human events, and I don't think that she is going to be that easily distracted from her purpose. So I think regardless of what the Newsman has to report, I don't think that she is going to be put off course. So I think Tandy Wade Newton from Westworld is victorious here, because she wants it the most. She really hates humans, even Muppet humans. She's going to win. I think that's my pick. Dave.
I think the Newsman only gets the opportunity to deliver one story.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to have time to do more than one and still be able to be at his desk.
Okay, interesting. Go on.
Why in the first one it kind of works, because it applied to both of them. Mm-hmm. But what news story can you disable a fucking Pope, literally, and an angry robot in the same thing?
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough. I'm trying to think of something. They live in very different parts of the world.
They do.
One is affected by technology, the other isn't. One is affected by otherworldly matters, the other isn't.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough to craft a story to make things fall and hurt them. Unless it's just like, you know, again, it's like, well, chicken stocks are down and chickens fall everywhere. But are chickens really going to do the job against an angry robot? Probably not.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm going to change my vote to Tundaway Newton, because I just think that she, also that he's not going to have time to get the story out before she has like taken off her jeans, ripped them into strips, throttled the new Pope with them, and then climbed the news desk and been like, stick time. Like I just don't think he has time now that I'm thinking about it. I believe the Westworld host proceeds to the final.
All right. Then we have our finalists. So the final match here in Thunderdome. Who will survive? Who will die? So close to the end. We've got Kathy Newman, Demon of Buffy season 4. We've got Bebe Neuwirth from Julia with a frying pan. Mm-hmm. And we got Thandiwe Newton from Westworld.
These are all my picks, yo.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Sarah, all your picks. Start us off. Remind us what everybody brought as well.
Okay, Kathy Newman, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer freshman year roommate demon from another dimension, brought a share tape, a casingle, if you will, of Believe.
Yep.
Bebe Neuwirth brought a cast iron frying pan. Tundaway Newton was permitted to wear less restrictive clothing in the form of jeans.
Jeans.
This really depends on whether you believe more in technology or in the supernatural, I suppose.
As is so often the case in Thunderdome. Proceed.
Yeah. I mean, unless you can find a narrative path to convincing yourself that Bebe Neuwirth would manage to fend off blows from both of them with the cast iron pan long enough for them to kill each other, which I do not. Mm-hmm. Yes, Dave?
I have a scenario, which I'll pitch to you in this year at the start of your thought process.
Okay.
Which is Kathy Newman plays, shares, Believe, and then Thandiwe Newton, as the robot from Westworld, is like, what is that song? It sounds so familiar. It's the opposite of what happened to us watching Westworld with the player piano songs is happening to her. She's only ever heard Cher's Believe on a player piano. And now she's hearing the real thing. She's like, do I know this song? It sounds so weird. It sounds so different from all the music I'm used to. And while she's like trying to listen to it, and you know the thing you do when you're listening really hard on something you can't quite figure out, and you start looking somewhere else, you're just looking up at the top of the dome. What the fuck is this? Kabong! That's when the demon gets her. And then it's a demon who's really good against soulless people. It gets Bebe Neuwirth with all the soul and all the vigor and all the venom. She kills her. So in the end, in this scenario, I could see Bebe Neuwirth winning the final match. And it's all because of the item. It's all because of Cher's Believe.
Mm.
I completely forgot the soulless aspect. So I think this is how the demon would pick off the robot. That or the host has some kind of tape deck mechanism within her, which is then like you put, I don't even know, hot sauce on the casingle, you put it in the tape deck and she just melts down.
She just says Spotify.
Okay. Fair.
Speaking of soulless.
Yeah. But I do not hate this scenario from Dave. I feel like the only way to defeat the Rage Bot is with a loophole like this, then I think the cast iron pan comes in very handy at that time.
I'm going to even build on what Dave said and add that once Cher's Belief starts playing, it fires Bebe Neuwirth up. She is a song and dance woman. We know this. She is a triple threat. Triple if we're lucky. Probably many more threats than that, honestly. I mean, we've certainly seen her progress through several rounds of Thunderdome, so that's another extra threat that we never even thought about before. She is energized by the music. She is driven to want to continue to perform. She has something to live for now. She believes in herself. So as Kathy takes out Thandiwe Newton because of the whole soul thing, Bebe Neuwirth gets the jump on Kathy. And she wins it for all of humanity, as I think we all probably should have guessed she would.
Mm. What did she say when she delivers the final blow to win it?
What?
Do you believe in life after love?
Yes!
So, at the end of all this, 27 new people entered the Thunderdome. One by one, by one, by one, by one, by one, they fell until, at the end, standing over all of them, victorious, it's Bebe Neuwirth.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
We don't need another hero. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.